listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Here on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Lovely to have you along. Remember, you can send me a text at 2057, email me inbox at realitycheck.radio. Our next guest is Ananda Card. You'll recall that we had her on and she scared the living daylights out of me, to be honest, because she was talking about lead and the lead that she found around her house and its impact on children. And we got her on because there was a report in the newspaper. Wait for it. It's hard to believe. Tokomaru residents have been urged to use bottled water after tests found elevated levels of lead in the town's drinking water supply. So the council have issued do not drink, and they've got milk tankers coming in with water for the schools and whatnot. And they're saying, oh, don't worry, we'll check it out. It might be just a random test. It might be a pipe fitting. Ananda, good morning.
Good morning, Rodney.
Just give us a recap. Why is lead bad? Remind me, I've forgotten.
Okay.
I know it's bad and I'm scared and I sort of planted it in a dark place in my mind so I could live.
Yeah, you need to compartmentalize these things sometimes. Lead is bad because, well, for so many reasons. It's bad for both children and adults, but... excuse me, sorry, getting over a cold or getting a new one too. In children, lead can basically, the short answer is it can cause brain damage and prevent and cause developmental delays as it affects the brain when the children are growing. And that can, in babies and children, the scary thing is lead poisoning in babies is invisible and may not show any effects until the kids are in school. So, and by that time, there's no way to look back because the lead in their blood will be gone. And so babies may be exposed to lead dust or other sources. And then they grow up and when they start school, they may develop ADHD, behavioral problems, IQ loss, and trouble learning in school, learning disabilities, and then that can predispose them to dropping out of school, delinquency, criminal activity, lower earnings as an adult. And then those are just for the kids. My son had a speech delay that can be related to lead too. We don't know if that was because of his lead exposure or not, but in adults, it can also cause high blood pressure, heart disease, kidney disease, possibly they think dementia, and a whole host of other things.
And there's no particularly safe limit of lead, right?
There is not. As low as the studies have been able to detect lead, they have found detrimental effects.
And lead is lying there invisible in dust and from activities that have taken place long ago. And a toddler, obviously, can be playing in the dirt around where there were lead light windows or old lead paint being scraped off, and they're putting their hands in it, putting their hands in their mouth, and they're ingesting gallons of lead.
Yes, exactly. That's the biggest risk for kids. Just windows that are chipping, little bits of paint chips might fall on the floor, get ground into dust, and the kids are crawling around, putting their toys in their mouth, that kind of thing.
What do you make of this water supply business?
Honestly, I think it's pretty alarming. And the scarier thing for me is that I don't think this is an isolated issue for Tokomaru. I think it may be a nationwide problem. And I don't think enough is being done about it. So, we can get into the details if you want.
I want you to get into the details because I read the story. I tell you what I make of it after having listened to you. They seem amazingly relaxed.
Yeah.
And they say things like, this was thought to be a sampling error. However, the precaution was followed through and with additional and more regular testing. And then they still found the lead. And then they confirmed that the reservoir had traces of lead that were non-compliant. And then they thought, oh, it might be a corroding brass tap at the sampling point, i.e. it was just a point source that wouldn't be affecting everyone. And you're thinking, these people are very relaxed for having found lead in their water. And now they're saying results are expected back late Wednesday to eliminate the river as a source of the contamination, which would mean the whole water has got lead in it. And, of course, this could have been on for some time. And they're just totally relaxed, like, don't fret. Just, you know, we're being extra cautious. And I read that and I thought, I don't trust these guys to be delivering me clean water.
Yeah. So, okay, let's back up. In mid-July, well, let's say, okay, back in April, they did testing of the water supply. And apparently now, as of a couple of years ago, there's some new standards where they need to test the water supply twice a year. But they only need to test the network, like the reticulation supply. And so in April, it was fine. And then in July, they did a test at a fire station because of some work that was happening and some tap there. And that water had lead in it. And so that kind of started some extra testing for them to do. So then they tested, I think it was the same place again, or it was at the water treatment plant they tested in this month, 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Excuse me. And when they tested that recently, they did find lead. And so then that prompted them to do the do not drink notice. And then they started doing more testing, more intense testing, testing the reservoir and the river and the treatment plant and all the water and all the places. And then actually, so the update since that study, that newspaper article you're reading, on Friday, they actually lifted the do not drink notice because they said they were able to determine that there was not lead in the reticulation network. So the water supply itself does not have lead in it. That makes it, quote unquote, compliant. But that isn't really good enough. So the further details is that they tested a tap at the water treatment plant that is meant to mimic what would happen in someone's house. So it's like a brass, a typical brass tap, and some kind of conditions that would be like a home. Got it. And they found lead in that water. I think it was 165 ppb. And the limit, the MAV in New Zealand is 10. So it was 16 and a half times too high. But actually, the American Association of Pediatrics recommends that babies and children not consume water over 1 ppb. So even our 10 ppb is too high. But so they, that 165 ppb, they tested a week or two ago. And then again, last week they tested again, and it was down to somewhere around 100. And they have since determined that it is the water out of that tap that is has the lead in it, but the water from the source does not have lead in it, which means that as the water comes through the tap, it's leaching the lead from the tap. And that ties into this issue of plumbo solvency. So you may remember what happened in Flint, Michigan.
Nope.
So you've heard of Flint, Michigan and the water crisis that happened there, right? No. That was big news. Oh, okay. All right. So let's see. I think this was about 10 or a little bit more years ago, between 2010 and 2015. I can't remember. In Flint, Michigan, there was this massive crisis that happened because the town, which is a very low socioeconomic area, which is not a priority for the politicians, they were getting their water from a source. I think it may have been, I don't know where the source was. And then they decided it was cheaper to get the water from a river. So they changed the source of the water to the river. And they also decided to stop treating it in the same way, like adding something to it, which makes it safer. And when they did that and changed the water, it made the water more plumbo solvent. And that means the water is more likely to leach lead out of the water. And what happened in Flint is when the water changed, they have all these lead pipes in their network there. And this water that was different started leaching all the lead out of the pipes into people's homes. And all the kids got lead poisoning, like really high levels of lead poisoning. And even the adults, everybody was exposed to lead. And it was this major crisis and all this political drama, and there's been lawsuits and politicians, maybe even gone to jail or almost, it's a whole thing. And so that kind of woke people up to the issue of lead in water in America. And now fast forward to now, the Biden administration.
It's made it to the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, it was a huge, massive problem.
And it says, as the criminal investigation progressed, more than a dozen state and local officials were indicted on a raft of charges, including obstruction of justice, lying to police, and involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah. Yeah, so now the Biden administration has this massive project replacing all the lead service lines across the entire country, like billions of dollars. It's a huge priority, all because of what happened in Flint, Michigan. So the thing about Flint, Michigan is there was not lead in the actual water, but the plumb solvency changed, and that meant the water was now able to leach all the lead out of the pipes. And I think that seems like it's what's happening in Tokomaru. So they've determined there's no lead in the water supply, but something has changed in the water, and now it's leaching the lead out of that tap.
So now, what they should be doing is going around representative households, particularly in older houses, and sampling the water that people are actually drinking.
Yeah. So here is the really interesting thing. In New Zealand, the water suppliers are only required to provide safe water to your property. So they have to just say, there's no lead in the water once it gets to your property. But once the water goes through your lines into your house and through your tap, they don't care. So even though the water in New Zealand may be plumb solvent and may be leaching lead all the way through those lines into your home, that is not their concern. They only need to provide lead-free water to your property line.
Tell me, what sort of lines can have lead leaked out of them?
Pretty much, unless they're plastic, all of our pipes will have lead in them. So even like, you know, those old galvanized steel pipes, which are probably the majority of our supplying lines, have a certain percentage of lead in them. But the bigger concern is brass, because brass has lead in it usually. And so starting at the street, you'll have a Toby, which is like the thing that takes the water from the street and puts it into your line. It's like a joint. So you have the Toby, and then you have all your pipes. And then at every point, every juncture, there'll be either another brass fitting or lead solder on copper pipes, and or other brass junctions leading up all the way to your tap, which the majority of houses in New Zealand will have brass tapware. It'll be chrome on the outside or something on the outside, but inside is brass, unless you've gone out of your way in recent years to look for a specific stainless steel only tap. So everybody has brass taps, and the lead will be leaching out of it the whole way, all the way from the street into your, comes out your tap.
Goodness me.
The longer the water sits in that brass, the more lead will come out. And the more plumb solvent the water is, the more will come out.
You have a way of ruining my day.
Sorry.
No, but you sort of think, giving the kids a glass of water, and you're thinking, could I be poisoning them?
Okay, so here's the thing about lead in water. Yes, it is a concern, and yes, it can poison children, but usually the levels are not extreme. Like if you were standing down your lead painted window and your kid was right there, that would be a way bigger exposure for children. Whereas kids exposed to leaded water may get a blood level around the notifiable level, which is 5 micrograms per deciliter in New Zealand, are probably not even that high, maybe a little bit lower. But if they got exposed to actual lead paint, that it could be, you know, 10 times that, 5 to 10 times that easily. So the levels from water are not extreme, but it is definitely still concerning. And the thing is that it's just one factor. So they may get some lead in their water, you add that to living in an old house, you add it to, you know, eating a lot of chocolate and, you know, sucking on some lead painted toy or even a compliant toy. And all these little bits can add up.
What is it expensive to have your water at the tap tested for lead?
No, it's, I mean, it depends on your, what you consider expensive, but I think it's around $40 or $50.
Oh, wow. Because there's a water testing place near where I take the kids to jiu-jitsu, and I might just run our water because we're on like a rural supply.
Well, that is a whole different issue because tank water from roof collected water is a...
Oh, no, not from the roof, but from an aquifer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, you still want to... Yeah, it would be good. I think anybody who's on any water supply should probably check their water, actually. I haven't honestly tested mine. I have a little Brita that I fill my water with, but I always flush it. So the recommendation is that you flush it for a few seconds to just get what's in the tap, all that water out. But actually, the whole service line all the way to the street,
that's a lot
technically
of water.
You should flush that. And so in America, they recommend that you like take a shower, do some laundry, run the dishwasher, things like that to get all that water out before you then flush your tap and take water for drinking in the morning.
Is there a process that you can follow at home that would distill the water and remove any impurities?
No, just a water filter, like any water filter that is certified for reducing lead. So like I use a Brita, which is, you know, pretty basic, but there's like proper water filters that are better.
And what about boiling it and like having one of those things that distill the water, boiling it, you take the steam and then condense it and have that as your drinking water?
Oh, well, that would is a process. That would get it. Well, okay, that's, first of all, boiling water itself does not destroy lead. That will even just... concentrate it. But yeah, if you were, you know, boiling it up to steam it and distilling it, yes, that the lead would not come through that.
And of course you've got that process of, if you're using hot water, it's definitely going through copper piping, right?
Yeah, and hot water cylinders are a massive risk. Nobody should be drinking any water that comes from hot water. Like for me in my house, my cylinder is from 1970. I mean, God knows like how bad the water is in there. I still have separate taps in my kitchen, so that's definitely not coming into our water supply. But all the copper and then the bottom of the cylinder has like a sludge of stuff. Like it's just, hot water is a massive risk. Nobody should consume hot water in the tap.
And what about water in your kettle? Your electric jug or your kettle on the hot plate?
Well, you know, that's something I'm not sure about because I suspect there may be some kettles that do have lead components in them, but it's hard to know. Yeah, it's possible. It's probably safe, but I can't say for sure. I have a kettle that's all glass on the inside.
You are the most cheerful person to interview in the morning. All our listeners are sitting there lying flat on the sofa thinking, I'm just going to give up. Because you sort of think, surely to goodness, water's okay.
Well, you just have to, the more you learn, the more you know. So if you know, take a shower in the morning, do a load of laundry, you can set, if you have one of those machines, you could set to do it at 5 a.m. before you wake up. And then you flush your tap before you drink the water. That's good. That's all you really need to do. Or just don't take your water for drinking straight away in the morning. Like I have a Brita, I fill that up at night and make sure it's full. So in the morning, I just have that there. So I don't need to do all that flushing.
I was trying to understand through your accent what a Brita is. That's one of those jugs with the filter in it.
Yeah.
I know what they are. Yeah, got it. Oh, goodness me. And then you mentioned, to my horror, chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a bummer. I know. If you thought I bummed you out about water, it's going to be much worse.
Should we just stop? Can I just sort of die early dumb?
Okay. The thing to know about chocolate is just don't overdo it. There's lead and cadmium, which is a carcinogen, in chocolate, in pretty much all chocolate. Some of them have much higher levels than others. Dark chocolate will have higher levels as well. Organic chocolate actually even has higher levels than the non-organic chocolate. But if the study recently that came out last month showed that in just, if you just consume one serving, which is what, like two little squares or something, an ounce, I think, then you're not getting very much. It's okay. It's just like other foods. But the thing is people don't just consume one serving of chocolate, right? You can sit there and eat half a bar of Whitaker's if you're really in the mood for chocolate, or possibly more. And if you're doing that on a regular basis, like every day, then that's quite a lot of exposure, possibly.
I'm just reading here. I Googled it. I'm reading consumerreports.org. I imagine this is American. Lead and cadmium could be in your dark chocolate. Consumer Reports found dangerously heavy metals in chocolate from Hershey's, Theo, Trader Joe's, and other clearly American popular brands. Here are the ones that had the most and some that are safer. For many of us, chocolate is more than a taste, just a taste retreat. It's a mood lift, an energy boost, a reward after a tough day, a favorite holiday gift. People also choose dark chocolate in particular for its potential health benefits. That's what I thought. Thanks to studies that suggest its rich supply of antioxidants may improve heart health and other conditions, and for its relatively low levels of sugar. But there's a dark side to this healthier chocolate. Researchers found that some dark chocolate bars contain cadmium, and lead, two heavy metals linked to a host of health problems in children and adults. The chocolate industry has been grappling with ways to lower those levels. Oh, my goodness. Do we know
where the Consumer Reports reported that, I think, in around Christmas time in 2022. And then they followed up a year later with some further studying on like cocoa powder and other things like that. And then last month, a study came out, a proper scientific journal, a research article, a research project where they'd been looking at annually from 2014 to 2022, all the most popular brands of chocolate in America and testing them all across those 8 years. And some of them are quite high.
Do we know where the lead comes from in the chocolate?
It's not entirely clear. It seems to be a combination of both the plants being grown in contaminated soil and there being like environmental contamination from the farms, as well as the post-harvest processing. So when they collect them, like this is a problem in a lot of different aspects of agriculture where they may harvest them and throw them into a big, huge metal bin that's covered in lead paint. And then it gets processed by machinery that has brass in it. And, you know, over time, little bits of the brass wear off and trickle down into the product. And then, you know, more and more processing of these leaded components add more lead along the way. And it's the same for pretty much any food that's processed, not just chocolate. But in chocolate, they think it can be a combination of both those things.
Happy days. And of course, you can be on soil, happily growing your little garden, thinking, aren't I doing everything right? And be dosing yourself up on lead, because 50, 60, 100 years ago, something was done there to put lead into the soil.
Yeah, nobody should ever garden or let your children play directly next to a house, ever. But if you're gardening, you know, in your back section and you have a raised bed and you bring in, what you bring in could also have lead in it. You definitely don't want to bring in soil from an older house to use in your veggie box. And even compost sometimes can have elevated lead in it. So you really have to be careful what you're bringing in. But if you do your research and like the bagged potting mix from Bunnings, you know, that's just basically shredded bark. So that's going to be probably pretty safe. But actual soil would be a risk. And depending on where the compost comes from, where they get their inputs from, that potentially could be an issue too. So, but raised beds away from your house with good inputs, especially if you make compost yourself, that's pretty safe. And then if you wash your produce, because not that much lead actually goes into the plant, the most of the contamination from growing in leaded soil comes from any soil that still exists on the plant, like spinach and greens and herbs, where you have actual soil that might be sticking to the leaves. That's where people get the biggest risk from. Think like tomato, you could grow tomatoes in relatively contaminated soil and they would be safe, assuming you wash them, because it doesn't actually go into the plant. It's when it sticks to the leaves and to the plant itself. Or if you're like root vegetables, like beets and carrots, that could be a different situation. But if you wash it and it's a fruiting plant, then it's safe.
Do you live a happy life?
Yeah, I do. I don't actually worry about lead that much in my normal everyday life because I pretty much know where to avoid it. And I've kind of taken care of stuff around my house. So.
Oh, because this started with lead paint in your house, didn't it, when you had a toddler?
Yeah, lead paint and dust and dust from the lead light windows and soil. We had contaminated soil
too. And you got them tested and just it was through the roof, right?
No, it was borderline, but to me that was way too much because the notifiable levels are not really representative of what's okay for human health. It's just they have to draw a line somewhere.
So it's just a matter of being aware, being careful, understanding the relative risks, talking to you. But what you're saying is here in New Zealand, we're blasé about lead.
Yeah.
Whereas in the US, the Flint, Michigan thing and the lawsuits would have sparked a lot more care.
Yeah, and not just that, but there's been regulations and laws about controlling lead paint and how, like a builder in America that's dealing with lead paint can't just go and do whatever they want. They have to be certified with an annual course in how to deal safely with lead paint before they can go and do renovations on a house that has it. And if they do improper practices, they could be fined like $30,000 or something per instance of non-compliance. So there's a lot of regulations and fines and enforcement that happens, and also a general awareness about lead too. And actually the biggest thing is that they test their kids. They test their kids' blood at age one and age two, standard. In some states, every child at age one and two is supposed to be tested for lead in their blood. And that's how they find out a lot about a lot of these things. And that's how the contaminated baby food scandal from last year was discovered. You want to talk about that?
God, yes. My honest to God, my jaw's on the ground. It's just like I'm so naive and oblivious to the dangers. Tell us about the baby food scandal.
So the issue of lead and heavy metals in baby food is not a new problem. That's been around for years. And actually the U.S. Congress passed a law or discussed passing a law and then did a bunch of research and found out it's actually a really big problem. And they proposed some limits, but then never actually did anything about it. And it's a whole mess. So that's just about general baby food. But something different happened last year where a lot of kids got poisoned. And it happened. So they're every year, kids in America get tested when they turn one and they turn two or around there for their blood when they go to their annual visits at the doctor. And some of these kids had high levels of lead and the parents could not figure out what it was. And it triggered an investigation. So investigators came to their house to investigate and check their house and their toys and their paint and all the things. And they couldn't find it. And eventually then the kids' levels went up after this, after they're even investigating. And the parents were like, what is happening? And the mom said, the only thing the kids are doing that we're not doing is eating these apple cinnamon baby food patches. And so the investigators checked those.
Apple cinnamon baby.
Baby food pouches. You know, the squeezy things that they suck on?
Yeah.
And the investigators tested that and they had massive amounts of lead in them. So the FDA started investigating and they traced it back to the exporter. It was in Ecuador. And they took cinnamon they bought from Sri Lanka and added it to applesauce. And at some point, the cinnamon got contaminated. And they don't know if it was from the source or from the exporter from Sri Lanka or somebody in between. And they thought it was probably an accident due to some, you know, bad grinding machinery. But then the levels were so high that now they actually suspect that it was added on purpose. So, and this has happened. It's a known issue with turmeric in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. The growers of turmeric will add lead chromate to the powder to make it really bright and yellow and make it heavy so that they earn more money because it's sold by weight. And so it looks like that may have been the same thing that happened with the cinnamon. Somebody added lead to it to make it heavy and earn more money. And that poisoned 500 kids in America with actually very high levels of lead poisoning. And nobody checked it all along the way from Sri Lanka to the stores in America. It was not on anybody's risk assessment, which they are required to have, but that was not one of the things on it and nobody checked it. And since then, FDA is now investigating cinnamon in general. So there's tons of cinnamon recalls. But the levels they're finding in normal cinnamon are nowhere near as high as what was in that baby food, but they're still too high for general safety. And so there's a bunch of recalls of cinnamon. And my concern is that, one, we are not checking kids in New Zealand that our kids may have been exposed to this cinnamon. We don't really have that apple cinnamon food here. It's not as much a New Zealand thing as an American thing. But I had contacted companies who make apple cinnamon baby food or baby food that has apple cinnamon in it, like an Australian organic company. And they said, oh, no, our food's safe. And I said, oh, so they said it's all grown in Australia. And I was like, your cinnamon comes from Australia? And they never responded to me.
You have a web page. Tell us what your web page is.
Leadaware.nz.
Leadaware, all one word?
Yep, www.leadaware.nz. And then I have Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as well.
So they just gave you the brush off?
Yeah, they didn't. Well, they probably hadn't checked it because I don't think anybody's actually checking it in New Zealand. And we have a total diet study that's happening now, but the results don't come out until 2025. And I was able to get them to get cinnamon and cocoa powder onto the list of things that they're checking. And salt can be another thing. But we won't know those results for a year and a half.
When did lead get removed from paint?
That's a little bit hard to answer. I'm not entirely sure. A lot of the statistics, like the government websites, will say 1965. But I've personally tested a couple of 1970s houses that have lead paint in it. So when they say it was quote unquote removed, I think they just mean above a certain level. And so it's all relative. I mean, even right now, paint is allowed to have 1,000 ppm lead in it currently, right now, sold on shelves. And the EPA this year put out a proposal to reduce that to 90, which is the international standard. And it looks like that is probably going to happen. And that will be good. But so it's relative.
Your webpage is very excellent.
Thank you.
Where did you learn to design all this and make it so clear?
On the fly. I think it was last year.
Everyone, the headlines. Home renovations are kids' biggest lead poisoning risk. The simplest way to drastically reduce lead poisoning risk, hand washing. Fishing sinkers are extremely dangerous. Don't let kids touch them. Don't use them around the house. Vintage toys and non-toy items often contain lead and other toxicants. Lead lights and stained glass are lead poisoning risks. Soil contaminated with lead and arsenic, common in New Zealand gardens. letters often found in this bit near walls or windows, under areas used for burn piles, land historically used as an orchard, gardens of homes built before 1950. Why would that be? Because they used lead then.
Around 1945, the allowable level of lead in paint was reduced massively. Okay. So in those like 1900s, 1920s houses that have a really high amounts of lead, like up to maybe 50% of the paint was lead.
Okay.
Like,
and then
like veggie, 50% of the total of it.
Veggie boxes and then, driveways. I presume driveways because there used to be a lot of lead in the petrol, right?
Yeah.
And then most New Zealand taps are made of brass containing lead. And it so it can leach into the water as it touches the brass. In the morning, flush out 500 mils to dump water that's been sitting collecting lead all night. Other sources of lead include brass fittings, lead soldered copper joins in the junction where your home's pipe meets the street. Ideally, flush all that water out in the morning before drinking it. Don't drink or cook with water from the hot tap. Your cylinder could have lead, and hot water pulls more lead from the pipes and fittings. It is great, this. It is great, Ananda, because you learn this and you can actually overcome the fright because you know what to do.
Yeah, I feel like the more you learn, the more you know the risk is. You don't just have to be afraid.
I feel bad now for asking you how do you live a happy life, because you start off just terrified. Before the vintage crockery often contains lead and other toxicants. Before the 1970s, there were no regulatory limits on lead or other heavy metals in crockery anywhere in the world. Wow. New Zealand limits came from the UE limits established in 1984. And then it's still high. New Zealand will soon have the worst limits in the world. Chocolate, you were going to, I didn't know how I discussed this as a man, lady sanitary products.
There's a study that came out last month, I think, as well, showing they tested 20 different tampons in America, like the biggest brands, including organic ones, and found lead, cadmium, and arsenic. I'm not sure about cadmium. Definitely lead and arsenic in the tampons. Every single tampon they tested had lead in it. And, I mean, the levels are not super high. They're 0.12 ppm as an average. So people are saying like, oh, well, you know, your garden soil and your food you're eating has much higher levels of lead than that. But people are not putting their garden soil into their vagina. So you can't really compare, because vaginal absorption is much higher than stomach absorption. So if you eat lead or you eat something that has lead in it, say chocolate, an adult only absorbs about 10% of the lead that's in it. But if you put that same level of lead in a vagina, nobody actually knows how much lead gets absorbed or where it goes or what happens to it. And there's been basically no studies on this at all. So the finding of lead and arsenic in tampons is potentially a really big problem. I mean, it could be not a problem at all, but the thing is, we just don't know. And the organic ones actually had higher levels of arsenic, but slightly lower levels of lead. But that's the thing that everybody needs to know. Organic does not mean safer when it comes to heavy metals. In any case, organic means that things are grown without pesticides. It does not mean that the heavy metals are controlled or even checked. That's the same when you're talking about cotton and tampons. It's the same when you're talking about chocolate and food and everything.
I stay quiet through all that feminine stuff, I'm afraid. Just on that, though, wouldn't you be advised, and God, I feel bad even asking it, but wouldn't you be advised to use a pad rather than a tampon?
Yes, except, so the alternatives are also not necessarily 100% low tox and safe either. So in disposable pads, I think they found similar. I don't know about the lead, the heavy metals, but there's also other things in them, other chemicals. And then, so cloth, in my opinion, I think cloth pads and period undies are probably the safest option, but they can have PFAS in them, which is the forever chemicals like Teflon, if you've heard of the PFAS issue, because that makes it the waterproof coating on the back. So I am currently trying to look into whether you can get period undies and cloth pads that don't have any PFAS in them, like polyurethane backed ones, I think might be the safest. But there's also cups, like silicon period cups, and silicon is shown to have low levels of cadmium in it as well. So the question is whether that may leach or not. I don't know. So I've been working with a content creator on Instagram, and we're going to contacting companies and trying to find out if anybody's actually doing any testing and if there is actually safer alternatives. But it's not clear. It's really confusing and
the difficulty that you have too is it is terrifying for parents, because those parents whose children were eating the cinnamon suckies or whatever they were.
Pouches.
They know their children had elevated lead in their blood, but they have no idea whether the kids are okay.
And they won't know for years.
And even then, like, your IQ could be just lower, right? And someone just
their IQ probably will be lower. Yeah. They say between one, so a blood level of 1 microgram per deciliter, which is, I would assume, probably an average for toddlers in New Zealand, between 1 microgram per deciliter and 10 micrograms per deciliter. Once you go from 1 to 10, you lose 10 IQ points, but the vast portion of that 10 is lost in those first couple microliters of increase. So the lowest level is where you lose the biggest IQ points. Jeepers. And then it kind of levels out after that.
Jeepers. 10 points is a huge number.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we know why kids are stupid.
Well, yeah. And I think it's probably actually a really massive problem in New Zealand. And I probably said this in our last interview, the data reported by UNICEF says that right now in New Zealand, there's 47,000 lead poisoned children, but nobody's checking them and nobody knows. Like, can you imagine how amazing this country would be if all of our kids had 10 more IQ points? And a massive lower incidence of ADHD and learning and behavioral problems in schools.
How can a parent, you'd be recommending if you have young kids that you get them tested, right? Every 6 months for lead.
I wouldn't say every 6 months, but, you know, every, like, annually it would be good until they're at least 3.
What happens if you go along to the doctor and you say, I'd like a blood test done and check lead? What do they say?
They'll say, no, your kids don't have any lead in them. You don't need to test that.
And if you insist?
Sorry?
And if you insist?
They'll still say no. I have heard from so many parents who go to their doctors where they have, like, legitimate lead paint exposure concerns, and the doctor won't test them. And the same thing happened to me when I tried to test my kids. They said, there's no way your kids have any lead in their blood.
How did they know?
And I said, yeah, because they're taught in their medical school training that kids get lead poisoning when their house gets painted. And if you haven't painted your house, there's no way kids have any lead in them. That's just stupid. What they think. They just don't know. They haven't been taught. And they think all of this other stuff is nonsense, because that's the way it is in New Zealand. In America, it's a completely different thing. Although there are still doctors in America who are also uneducated or, you know,
but
haven't been updated.
Don't you, as a parent, have the right to say, I want my child tested? And the doctor who is the professional has to say, okay, ma'am, I can see you're serious.
Okay, so I have someone who contacts me regularly, and her kids, they had some work done on their Safits and their eaves some kind of paint, and there's paint chips all over their deck. And they were lead paint chips. And so she wanted to have her kids tested to make sure that they hadn't been exposed in some way. And she fought with her GP for months and months. And finally, after, I don't know, maybe 6 months, the GP agreed to refer her to private or like self-funded testing. So she would give her the referral that she could go to the lab and pay for the test herself. I think it was like $70 or something. But by that time, it'd been months. I mean, lead only stays in the blood for, you know, 1 to 3 months if it's a lower level of exposure. So, you know, the longer you wait, there's less a point of even testing them. That's why you need to be testing regularly or immediately after exposure to find out how bad it was. And so, yeah, so that's, I guess, a possibility of self-funding the testing, but you still have to get a GP to order it. And they're very reluctant to do it. It's incredibly frustrating.
What about older kids and what about adults? Should they get tested?
So I've been helping this woman who has had a lot of health problems, and she saw this guy on Instagram testing a bunch of lead things. And it occurred to her that maybe she had lead poisoning because she's been having all these weird health problems. And so she was able to get herself tested, and she had a really high level of lead in her blood. And it turns out it was from all the supplements she was taking to help detox her from these other health problems she was having. Because there's lead in supplements. The one that, so public health actually tested the one that she was taking that I recommended could be an issue, that has zeolite in it. Because zeolite is mined from the ground. Anything that's mined from the ground has lead in it, basically. But they say that it's like bound up and it's meant to bind to the lead in the body and take it out. But it actually has lead in it, and depending on what form it's in, can lead poison you. So adults, if they have potential exposure risks, should be tested too. But
so she was taking a supplement. She was taking good care of her health. She was taking a supplement and she's poisoning herself.
Yeah. Yeah, so she managed to heal from the original issues she was having, but in the meantime, lead poisoned herself and has now this to deal with.
And likewise with organic food, you can sit there all pious thinking, I'm eating my organic food, no pesticides, yay, and it be heavy on the lead or other heavy metals.
Well, I mean, fresh produce is not really a big risk. It's the processed stuff. And so and actually gluten-free can be an issue too, because like cassava flour can be really high in lead, and that's a really common gluten-free alternative.
Right. Well, I have to say, Anandikaart, I talk with you with some trepidation. I tell you why. I guess I'm like most Kiwis, men. I'm totally cavalier. You know, I just, all that worrying about that stuff, masks and whatnot, you know, don't be a nana. Just get in there and get the job done, because that's how I was brought up.
Yeah.
And I cut things and I do things and with no thought. And what talking to you is on the lead front is that awareness. And funnily enough, now with this interview, I feel empowered.
Yay!
So I actually feel quite good, because I got off last time and I was just like, oh, God, it's another thing to worry about. I thought I was doing everything quite right. It's like that poor lady taking the supplements, healing herself, and poisoning herself with lead, going along to the doctor not testing her, and every day she was adding lead to her system. It's amazing. I can't stress for people to go and have a look at leadaware.nz. It's a wonderful resource. Ananda, we thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you.
It's amazing. And thank you for being such a good sport about it, because while you're very well researched in it, you're not obsessive, clearly, because that's why I asked you, do you enjoy life? Because it's very easy to just start to look at everything in a horror, because it's, I guess it's that invisibility of it, isn't it?
Yeah. When you first find out about it and you think it's everywhere, which it is everywhere, but the more you learn, the more you realize, you know, how to compare things and the relative risks. And the important thing to remember is it has to get inside you somehow. So even if it's in your environment, it doesn't mean it's poisoning you. It has to get, you have to ingest it or inhale it. And that's why it's such a big risk for babies, is because they put all their hands in their mouth and their environment goes into their body.
Washing hands is the number one thing.
Yeah.
Ananda Kaur, lovely to talk to you. Remember, you can send us a text at 2057, email me inbox at radicheck.radio. This is Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Wonderful to have Ananda on. We feel very blessed to have your insight and your knowledge.
Thank you, Rodney. Thanks for having me.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.